In our time tonight, we want to speak around this theme, this subject. You will regret what you forget. I want you to help me with that title. Look at somebody and help me with my title tonight. Look at somebody and tell them, you will regret what you forget. Look at somebody else, tell them, you will regret what you forget. The scripture admonishes you and I to remember what the Lord has done. I want to begin tonight's message with a quick video. It's only about 24 seconds, so pay attention from the very beginning. And I wonder if sometimes we are not like this animal in this video. So thank you guys for setting up the video for me. And if you would show it at this time. That's it. That's the video. That guy, he's obviously a farmer or a rancher or something, you know, and he spots a sheep that's in the ditch and the sheep can't get out. And he uses all of his strength. He pulls the sheep out of that ditch. And you saw how it just did a half moon, a half circle, and ran right back into the same ditch. And he just looks over there at it, waved his hand, and just walked off. He's just like, if you're going to run right back in the ditch, I just pulled you out of. What's your message tonight, preacher? You will regret what you forget. Let's go to Deuteronomy first. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 8. You will regret what you forget. I wonder if sometimes we are not like that sheep when God pulls us out of a ditch and we turn right around and run back into that same ditch. The only difference is God doesn't wave his hand and walk off from us. He comes right back and pulls us out again. Amen? He's a loving, faithful Heavenly Father. Glory to God. I want to read just a few verses to begin with from Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Can we thank all of our video personnel? You can't see them. They can't see you. All of our camera workers, video personnel, they do such a fantastic job. And they set up my video for me tonight and just appreciate. Give them one more big hand. They do so many. They don't get any attention really because you don't see them. But we love them and we appreciate them and their ministry, and we couldn't do what we do without them. All right, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. Be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. And then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character, to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live on bread alone. Rather, they live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Say that with me. We live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Yeah. How many believe God's got a rhema word right here tonight for you? One word from God can change your situation just like that. You can go from lack to overflow just like that. One word from God. Yeah. Let me just read just a little bit further. Verse 4, we're in Deuteronomy 8, verse 4. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out. Your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, flowing with streams and pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out in the valley and the hills. It's a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. It's a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is as abundant. Is abundant in the hills. So, wow, what a powerful scripture. I want to speak during our time, use these words as the basis for which we're sharing. You will regret what you forget. Here, God is speaking a mighty word to his people, telling them to remember, that they have to remember the things they've done. Now, oftentimes we preach correctly in the house of God that we have to be people who forget things. We have to be people who learn how to forget. You know, Philippians 3:13, forgetting what lies behind, pressing forward to what's ahead. And there's a validity in the context of that teaching. And when we forget about, you know, old mistakes, old failures and shortcomings And we let that go and we press forward to what God has for us. There's a validity in that. This is the other side of that coin where God is speaking to his people and therefore speaking to you and I, and he's giving very, very strict warnings that his people remember. He wants you and I to remember who he is. He wants us to remember what he has done. And so often we become forgetful hearers. And the reality is God has done so much for you and I. The reality is God has brought you and I from a mighty long way. The reality is that there are so many of us tonight who wouldn't even be here in this service, would not be watching online or listening any other way. They would not even be in this earth had it not been for the Lord who was on your side. There are some of you right now, right in this place right now, you wouldn't be here if God hadn't touched you and healed you. Let me see your hand. Let me see you testify. Now just look around. Keep your hands up for a moment. Look at all these hands. They wouldn't even be here tonight. There are many of you who wouldn't be here if God hadn't delivered you. You were strung out on some drug. You were addicted to alcohol. You were addicted to nicotine. You were addicted to prescription pills. But the Lord delivered. Let me see your hand. But the Lord delivered you and set you free. Just look around. God is a delivering God. He's a healing God. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty Savior. And God says, do not forget. You will regret what you forget. And God says to Israel, he says, I'm bringing you into a land that's filled with milk and honey. It's a land that overflows. It's a land where there's no lack. It's a land where my every promise to you is being fulfilled. But Israel's problem was they kept forgetting. In these 20 verses of Deuteronomy chapter 8, six different times God uses the phrase, remember or don't forget. Six different times in just this one chapter. And it was Israel's propensity to forget. They were forgetful hearers. They were forgetful doers. And they kept forgetting what God had done. God would bless them over and over again. And they would forget what God had done. God had saved them and God had delivered them from Egypt land. And they would forget how the mighty God had delivered them and saved them. And God has saved you and I. And he has gloriously delivered us from the hand of the enemy. And doesn't it feel so good tonight if you're born again? If you're not, you can get born again tonight. But if you are born again, doesn't it feel so good to be free from sin, to be free from that old life, to be free from what had you bound, to be free from Satan's tyranny, to be free from demons and demonic influences, to be free from the ways of this world, to be set free by the blood of Jesus, the stripes he bore on his back set us free. Doesn't it feel good tonight to be free? I tell you, it feels so good just to be free. And when we remember what God has done, oh, what a I say he's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. I remember my dad was in the earth, and one Father's Day, I sent him a card, and I flew home, and I took him out and bought him a steak or something and did some nice things for him. And he said, oh, Bill, you came all this way, and you spent all this money and all this. I said, oh, Dad, I love you so much. And he read my card, he started crying. I never forget that. He's in heaven, you know, now. But I remember when he read my card, he started crying. And I said in my card, Dad, I remember just even as a little boy, all the things you did for me. I remember when I was in the kitchen with some of my friends, and I was making a couple hamburgers for my buddies, and somebody told a joke, and in my laughter, my hand came down and hit a pot filled with oil, and that oil splashed up all over my right hand. And that hot oil caused a blistering water bubble to form over my right hand. And you rushed me to the hospital. And I told my dad, I said, the only thing that alleviated the pain was just, I don't know why this was, but just holding it out the window in the cool air. My dad driving the car, if I held my hand out the window, it just alleviated the pain. I don't know why that happened. But when my dad found out that alleviated the pain, he drove me around for about an hour and a half, just with my arm hanging out the window. Just so I wouldn't be in pain. And that Father's Day, I was thanking him for that. And he said, Bill, I don't even remember that. I said, I remember it. You drove me around again and again and again. I remembered what my dad had done. Even in the natural realm, you know, you parents, when your son or your daughter, when they say thank you and they remember something that you've done for them, or some sacrifice that you made. Doesn't it feel good when they come back and they just say, Mom or Dad, thank you for what you've done? And so God wants us to be mindful that we don't make the mistake of Israel. Let me show you first where he says six times in 20 verses, he tells them to either remember or don't forget. Number one, you see this in verse 2. In verse 2, remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness. It's a powerful admonition. Remember how the Lord your God, how he led you through the wilderness. Then let your eyes slip down to verse 11. Verse 11. But this is, but that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands. Look down at verse 14. Verse 14, if you will. Do not become proud at that time and forget that the Lord your God, who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. And then look down at verse 15. Verse 15. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna. Look down at verse 18. Let's look down to verse 18. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you the power to become successful or to get wealth in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. And then look at verse 19. But I assure you of this, if you ever forget the Lord your God, following other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. So these six times in these 20 verses, God says to Israel, be careful to remember or don't forget, because this was Israel's problem over and over again, over and over again. And look with me at some other verses. Go with me to the book of Nehemiah real quick. Nehemiah, and I'm gonna read this, and then we're gonna go on to another verse real quick. But I want you to see it here in Nehemiah, so we don't have to come back to it. You remember that I quoted it. Nehemiah 9:21. He says, "For 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. Listen now, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell." This is 2 to 2.5 million people in a hot desert that they would not have survived a week. But here, it says, for 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. Isn't that interesting? Go over to the book of Psalms with me, the book of Psalms. Don't forget. You will regret what you forget. Psalm 78. You and I are admonished by the Lord, encouraged. There are some things we better remember. There are some things we better remind ourselves of. First of all, in Psalm 78, look at verse 11. They forgot what he had done, the great wonders he had shown them, the miracles he did for their ancestors. Can you see that? They forgot. He did all those miracles, but Israel forgot that. Look at verse 18. They stubbornly tested God in their hearts, demanding the foods they craved. They even spoke against God himself, saying, God can't give us food in the wilderness. Yes, he can strike a rock so water gushes out, but he can't give his people bread and meat. Verse 22, they did not believe God or trust him to care for them. Yeah. Look over in that same chapter 78, look over at verse 42. They did not remember his power and how he rescued them from their enemies. Look at 43. They did not remember his miraculous signs in Egypt, his wonders in the plain of Zoan. Oh my. Go with me to Psalm 100. And 105, if you will, 105. Psalm 105. We're going to read just verse 5, and then we're going to run over to Psalm 106 and read several there. Psalm 105, verse 5. Remember the wonders he has performed, the miracles and the rulings he has given. Yeah. Over and over again. we're confronted with our need to remember. Go into you're still in 105, right? Go down to 105:37. Look at this. The Lord brought his people out of Egypt loaded with silver and gold. Sometimes people say, well, he blessed them to come out, but they weren't blessed. Stop trying to make a comparison. Those people weren't blessed financially. They were blessed financially. They were blessed spiritually. They were blessed physically. They were blessed emotionally. Every way you can be blessed, they were blessed. And we have a better covenant established upon better promises. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. I said, you are a blessed individual. You ought to look in the mirror and say, look at you with your blessed self. You are blessed no matter what you've... The Lord bought him out. Psalm 105, verse 37, the Lord bought his people out of Egypt loaded with silver and gold. Not one among the tribes of Israel even stumbled. See if you can do this for me. Can you put this same scripture up in the Living Bible, Psalm 105, 37? Do you have today's Living Bible, Psalm 105, 37? Look at it here. And brought his people safely out of Egypt loaded with silver and gold. There were no sick and feeble folk among them. Isn't that interesting? Before they marched out of Egypt land, he healed all 2 to 2.5 million of them. Somebody ought to say amen to that. I said, you have to be a mighty God. He healed them all. He blessed them all. When they marched out of Egypt, they were healed and they were sure enough blessed. And can I tell you this? If they were healed and sure enough blessed, God wants you and I healed and sure enough blessed. There's no area of our life that Christ didn't die for our healing. A few weeks ago, Pastor Tad preached on how the Lord has died to heal. He's already paid the price and healed us emotionally. All of our emotions and all that goes on in our soul. Amen. But none of them stumbled. None of them were weak. None of them were feeble because he healed them all. Praise God. Yeah. 105:40 says they asked for meat. He sent them quail. He satisfied their hunger with manna, bread from heaven. 41 says he split open a rock and water gushed out to form a river through the dry wasteland. Yeah. Look over into Psalm 106, the very next chapter, Psalm 106. We're talking about the warning from Deuteronomy not to forget. 6 times in 20 verses, God warns Israel, don't forget. Don't you forget what I've done for you. Don't you forget. My point is so often when you and I become forgetful hearers, we become forgetful of all that God has done. He's done more than we give him credit for. We're in Psalm 106 now. Psalm 106, it says this, verse 7, Psalm 106, verse 7, our ancestors in Egypt were not impressed by the Lord's miraculous deeds. They soon forgot his many acts of kindness to them. And instead they rebelled at the Red Sea. What led to the rebellion? They forgot. They forgot what the Lord had done. He rescued them from their enemies. The water covered their enemies. Look at verse 30. We're in Psalm 106. You're looking now at verse 13. Yet how quickly they forgot what he had done. They wouldn't wait for his counsel. Isn't that something? Look down at verse 21. We're in Psalm 106, verse 21. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done such great things in Egypt. Isn't that interesting? Over and over, I could go over and over and over again. The scripture is chock full with admonitions of the mistake Israel made. They forgot to heed the Lord's warning, and the Lord told them before they went into the promised land, get ready to go into the promised land. It is everything I promised, but you need to remember something. You need to remember who bought you. You need to remember who did this for you. So let me say this. Let me give you quickly five things out of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to give you just 5 points from there real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to say 5 things very quickly to you that will help you to remember what God has done. Because God has done a lot for you and I. How many remember where God has brought you from? How many can remember what God has done for you? I tell you, every day it ought to be like Isaiah 12. It says we draw water with joy from the well of salvation. We ought to draw water with joy out of the well of salvation. When just being saved is old news to you, then your wood has gotten wet. You need to rekindle the flame. when just talking about salvation ought to excite you. Just talking about being saved ought to excite you. Just talking about being saved by the blood of Jesus ought to just thrill you down in your soul. Just talking about being saved, how God saved you, how he delivered you, how he set you free, that ought to thrill you down on the inside. But Israel forgot. They forgot what it was like. They forgot what it was like before the Lord saved them. So, number one, the scripture says here at verse 5, Deuteronomy 8, 5, think about it. I'm just going to use the first part of that verse. It goes on to say some other things, but I want to use this first part. It just says, think about it. Think about it in the New Living. Think about it. Think about it. And I encourage you, think about it. Think about what, preacher? Think about what the Lord has done. Think about it. I encourage you to turn off the radio, turn off the TV, and I encourage you just take 5 minutes, five or eight minutes, and just and between tonight and sometime tomorrow, just think about what God's done for you. I encourage you to think about how God has helped you again and again. I remember when I was taking my sisters, we were visiting our old home, one of the places that we had lived, and we went across to get to our neighborhood. We went across Newman Springs Road. My sisters had forgot something that happened to me, but I remember when I pulled up to make a right turn to South Terrace. We lived at 16 South Terrace. When I pulled up to make a right turn on the road that led up to South Terrace, on Newman Springs Road, I had a flashback. Sitting there in the rental car. I said, oh my God. They said, what's the matter? I said, the Lord saved my life right here on this street. I said, I had come to the store. We had a rule, a family rule. You couldn't cross that street. The street was too busy to cross. And so my parents had a rule. None of us four kids were to go across Newman Springs Road. But there was a candy store just across on the other side. And I had about 25 cents, just enough to be dangerous. You know, back then you could get a lot with a quarter. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You could go to the store, you could get you had penny candy, the real good candy was 5 cents. I mean, you could go to the store like a millionaire. You had 50 cents, look out. And I had 25 cents and I was ready to spend. And I saw the store and my parents said, don't go across that street. But I had my bike and I thought, I can make it. I can get that candy and get back across the street. And I thought, well, I'm going to disobey, but I won't ride my bike across the street. I'll run it across the street. And so I looked both ways and I started running. I still remember running across that busy street as I saw a car approaching me at a high rate of speed. And the car slammed on the brakes and I threw the bike that way and the bike hit me and pushed me into the curb and the lady got out terrified that I, you know, could anything could have happened to me. But I got up and brushed myself off and I was all right. But I could have been gone just like that. I encourage you to think about, yes, Pranay, no candy. I encourage you to think about it, what God's done for you. He's helped you so many times. Think about when you didn't have a job and you was just trying to make it and God blessed you with a job. Think about it. Think about it when he healed your body. For some of you, the doctor looked at you and shook their head. You're not going to make it. It don't look like you're going to. Think about what God has done. Think about where he's brought you from. Think about how he saved you and healed you and delivered you, helped your children. He gave you favor time and time again. You wouldn't have had that house. God did that. You wouldn't have drove that kind of car. God did that. You wouldn't have had that job. God did that. Stop that. You wouldn't be dressing like that. God did that. I encourage you to think about it. Secondly, that's verse 5. Secondly, back into our list of Deuteronomy chapter 8. I encourage you to make a list. And verse 7 through 9, there's specific details of what God says he's done for them. I mean the details. The Lord your God's bringing you into a good land of flowing streams, of pools of water, of fountains and springs, gushing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat, barley, grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, honey. It's a land of food, plentiful, and nothing is lacking. Oh, my. I encourage you to make a list of the things that God has done. List out 10 or 20 things God's done for you. I encourage you to get a piece of paper and just write out what he's done. Keep your finger right there in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Run over there. Run back to Psalm 106, verse 2. We're talking about make a list. Make a list. Psalm 106, verse 2. Psalm 106, verse 2. You ought to make a list. You ought to write down. The Bible says Psalm 106, verse 2. Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who can ever praise him enough? You ought to list the glorious miracles of the Lord in your life. The psalmist said, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in my eyes. You ought to write down things that God has done. I encourage you first to think about it. Just think about how good he's been. You never would have made it. You never would have made it this far had it not been. The Bible said to Israel, used to say, let Israel now say, had it not been for the Lord who was on my side, we never would have made it. I encourage you, first of all, just think about it. I encourage you, second of all, make a list of what God has done. Write down 10 or 15 or 20 things that God has personally shown enough done for you. Oh, stay with me now. Think about it. Make a list. That was verses 7 through 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Listen, thirdly, after you think about it, after you make a list, I encourage you to make some time and praise God for it. Make some time. You can get that from verse 10. Verse 10, if you read verse 10, Deuteronomy chapter 8, and then read verse 10, when you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he's given you. God said, remember to praise me once you have thought about what I've done for you. Once you've written down what I've done for you, then I want you to take what you thought about, take what you wrote down, and then begin to praise me. Begin to magnify me, God says. Begin to lift up my name for the things I've done for you. I said, I wish I had an amen in here. Think about it. Make a list. Praise God. Number four, stay humble. Lost all my amens. God said, stay humble with that thing. When you start, verse 14 is where we're going. I'm going to start at verse 11, but verse 14 is our verse here. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full, listen now, when you have become full and prosperous, have built fine homes and to live in, and when your flock and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Verse 14, here we go. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Verse 15, do not forget that the Lord led you through the great terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes. Yes. So stay humble. Stay humble with it. Remember what God has done, but then stay humble. It wasn't your education that got you that job. It ain't your education while you living in that house. God did that. He gave you the house and the education. You need to stop that. You better act like you need him. Act like you know who did it. I said, you need to give him the glory. Act like you know. Give him the glory. Amen. Some people, they act like they did it. They say, yeah. No, you didn't do it. God did it for you. You wouldn't have none of that had not the Lord laid his hand on you. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Think about it. Make a list. Start praising God for it. Stay humble with it. And number five, listen, give God all the glory. You can see that at verse 17. It says, verse 17, he did all this so that you would never say to yourself. Say that with me. Never say to yourself. So that you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He's the one who gives you the power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. So think about it. Number two, make a list. Number three, praise God. Number four, stay humble. And number five, give God all the glory. Let me say these things to you as I close. Listen, God's done so much, and there are so many things that we should never forget. Amen. I said this, we should never forget how he saved you and I. We should never forget the things he's done. You know, I love the song we sing, you know, he touched my body, he healed my mind, he saved me just in time. Look what the Lord has done. Anybody ever know that song? Oh, man, I love to sing that song. Look what the Lord has done. Because you're worshiping him for what he's already done. So often we're trying to say, gimme, 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 gimme. Wait a minute. You need to bless him for what he's already done. Stop that gimme stuff and start thanking him for what he's already done. He's already touched you. He's already saved you. He's already healed you. He's already prospered you. He's already helped you. He's already lifted you up. He's already forgiven you. He's already strengthened you. He's already corrected that wrong thinking. He's already touched you. He already gave you that job. I said, I wish you'd say amen. Listen, remember how he saved you. Remember what he's done for you. Remember how much the Lord loves you right now. In spite of whatever you may be going through, you need to remember how you are loved unconditionally. And God's not judging you tonight. God's viewing you through the eyes of love. And he reaches out to you. And if you reach back to him, he'll help you every single time. Number four, don't forget that you're on your way to heaven. No matter what your current circumstance or condition is, no matter what you're going through, no matter what problems you face, remember, don't forget, you're going to heaven. You're on your way to heaven. It really doesn't matter. You might be going through a trial, a struggle, adversity, but you're on your way to heaven with your blessed self. We can be blessed in this life, and then God's got the best life waiting on you and I, where we're going to be able to spend eternity with him. You ought to be glad. You ought to be happy because you're on your way to heaven. The Bible said this world is not our home. Philippians 3:20 said our citizenship is in heaven, where we eagerly wait a Savior. Glory be to God. This world is not our home. And no matter what you're going through, remember, you're on your way to heaven with your blessed self. And finally, don't forget that all your sins have been washed away. And the Lord has thrown them into the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore. A few months ago on a cruise, Tony and I on the balcony of our cruise ship looked down at the most gorgeous blue water, just the appearance of it, just a deep blue. It just seemed the depth. We just had a sense for the depth of the ocean. I told her, don't drop your phone, girl, because they ain't getting it back. We just have to go get another one. But then I started reminding, you know, the ocean depth, the Bible talks about the ocean depth. Micah 7 says that the Lord throws our sins into the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore. And then over in Psalm 103, the Bible says God has separated us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. But in Psalm 103, verse 2, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. What you forget, you will regret. Let's pray together. Father, we've endeavored to share in this time with your people, and we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for the authority of your word and the power of your spirit. Touch, move, save, heal, deliver, correct wrong thinking, whatever is necessary. We thank you for it. Strengthen your people today. We pledge to remember what you've done. We pledge to overflow with gratitude. Father, we pledge to be so grateful, just to be so grateful. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for helping us again and again. Sometimes we're like that sheep I showed at the beginning. We get out of the ditch and run right back in. And you come and get us again and again and again. You pull us out of the ditch by the power of the Spirit. So we trust you and look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you want to be saved tonight, you can do that. Come down here. Our prayer room workers are coming now. These are anointed people. Anointed, good people. Anointed people. And Reverend Paul and the Sister Augusta are leading this team down. These are just great people here. And if you're a lady, come over here to the ladies. If you're a guy, go over to the guys. You want to be saved? You want somebody to agree with you in prayer? You want someone to just help you with the word real quick and pray with you and agree with you, then come on down and you can do that. You won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. Don't forget what God's done for you. Don't forget to make that list. Don't forget to think about it. Make your list. Praise God. We're supposed to take an offering for Mrs. Hagen, one of the kindest, most anointed people that any of us know. All of us can testify. She is an amazing, selfless woman of God. We love her so much. We never know what to get for her because she's a person who, you know, and she just has her own taste about things. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather her have something that she wants. And don't nobody know that but her.
So let's bless the woman of God. You can text to give for her birthday, except the key word you're going to use is Hagen. You're going to text to the same number, 28950. You can do this from home. Text to 28950, and you're going to put the key word Hagen, H-A-G-I-N, in there, and then put the amount you'd like to give. So there it is on your screen. Hagen, the amount you'd like to give. You're texting to the number 28950. You can use an offering envelope. Do the same thing. Just put a line item on there so we know that's where your gift should be designated. You can go to the kiosk, do the same thing, and you can drop your offering in the lockbox outside the church office door. And so however you're given, we want to bless her. Her birthday's coming up May 13th. We'll be here before we know it. And as Pastor Tad said, we just kind of have to get stuff taken care of while she's out on the road. And she's out on, let's think about that. She's out on the road after all these years, being faithful to the ministry to which God has called them. They could be, they could be anywhere just relaxing, taking on their own time, but they tirelessly serve the people of God, and we want to bless her. So this is our opportunity to give. Are you ready? All right. Let me pray. Father, thank you again for Mrs. Hagen, for her life, for the example that she has set, for the legacy that she has begun in this earth, and for how she's touched and affected all of our lives, my life in particular. So we bless you for her, and we pray that she'll be blessed on her birthday this year. And so receive this offering now as we designated for her, and we'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you just to hold your seat just for a moment. Let these ushers do their good work. Don't you appreciate these ushers? Give all them a big hand. While you're clapping for them, give all of our prayer workers and parking lot attendants, give all them a big hand. We're leaving people out. These are just good, good people doing the work of God. If you want prayer for something, you can come down. You should be the only one moving other than an usher. If you want prayer for something, feel free to come on down. You can get a head start. Let someone start agreeing with you and praying with you. That's how we do it. Just feel free to come on down and have somebody agree with you in prayer. These ushers are very fast. They're very efficient. They know what they're doing. And if you'll just let them collect the buckets, and if you'll stay still, they'll get it up here, lickety-split, and get right out of the auditorium. But let's let them do their good work. And they used to say that when Elvis was in the building, you know, when Elvis left the building, they say Elvis has left the building. The ushers are still in the aisle, so stay where you're at until they're moving quickly, though they're almost done. And so we appreciate the Lord. Think about it. Think about what he's done for you between tonight and tomorrow. He's helped you so many times. And don't forget to make a list. Praise God. Stay humble with it. Give God all the glory for it, what he's done for you. And that's the way. And then, you know, what he did before, he'll do it again. Amen. All right. We got a thumbs up here, guys. We all right? All right. They got a thumbs up. Give these ushers another big hand. Look at that. These guys, fast as lightning. Amen. All right. Well, you are dismissed. Be here Wednesday night, Hour of Power. We love you. God bless you, one and all.